Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, October 17th. Some sparks fly during mayoral debate. As expected, the Odessa mayoral debate revealed big differences between incumbent Javier Hoven, who bragged about his accomplishments over the last 4 years, and opponent Cal Hendrick, who said Hoven and the Odessa City Council have failed to deliver basic services. The hour-long debate on Basin PBS was moderated by Becky Ferguson and Mary Kate Hamilton of Channel 7. During the debate, Hoven repeatedly said that once former city council members Deetra White, Mary Willis, and Tom Sprawls left the dais in November 2022, the new council was able to start addressing the city's roads, water, and trash concerns that had been ignored by Hendrick's establishment friends. He also claimed credit for first responders receiving long-deserved raises and a fully staffed police and fire department. When the candidates were asked how they'd address Odessa's water issues, Hoven said $25 million has been set aside to replace the city's water valves and water lines. Hendrick said he'd begin by using the city's water master plan that was created just 6 months before Hoven took office and which he said had been completely ignored. Hoven listed among his other accomplishments the creation of a human trafficking prevention task force, a sanctuary city for the unborn resolution, and efforts to keep biological men out of women's bathrooms. The mayor noted Hendrick did not answer several questions on a survey created by the Texas Pastoral Alliance. Hendrick acknowledged he didn't fill out the survey because it was clear the committee was supporting Hoven. And there is church and state, it's called the Establishment Clause, and the Bill of Rights, First Amendment, separation of church and state. Thomas Jefferson talked about it, it's common law, Hendrick said. As for Hoven's repeated accusations about his establishment friends, Hendrick said he had no idea what he was talking about. There's no hidden agenda. I don't have any friends that I don't know what he's talking about, but what I want to do is have water, trash, police, fire, parks make Odessa the best city ever. The candidates were also asked about the city's ongoing trash problems, with the moderators pointing out citizens were promised 6 months ago new trucks were on their way and reduced trash pickups would return to normal. Hendrick said the council should have seen to the ordering of more trucks years ago and pointed out that if the issue was damaged or inoperable parts, Odessa has 200 fabricators in town. Hendrick also said he would have asked about running double shifts or borrowing trucks from private trash companies or the city of Midland. There are solutions to every problem, an elegant solution. What you have to do is work the problem. I don't personally feel the problem was worked, Hendrick said. Hoven told the moderators trucks have been purchased over the last 3 years and the trash problem is being addressed. It's not a lack of mechanics. It's not a lack of fabrication. The thing is that my opponent's establishment friends, once again, were running this town and they had carte blanche and they did not invest and allowed the aging infrastructure in vehicles to go beyond 7 to 9 years, Hoven said. Hoven was asked why the council budgeted $31.8 million for roads, but only spent $14.9 million. He didn't answer. Instead, he pointed out Highway 80, West County Road, Grandview University, 42nd Street, and Loop 338 are the responsibility of the Texas Department of Transportation. The mayor also insisted the roads are being addressed. I've asked people at the city what the problem is. There's multiple accounts. One of them's water. One of them's roads. They're not spending the money. Why? I've yet to get a straight answer. I honestly don't know, Hendricks said. He speculated it was because nearly all of the city's department heads have left the city since the city council terminated the contracts of city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks in December 2022. The candidates also hit on transparency during the debate. The city of Odessa has a long-standing, highly publicized feud with the Odessa American. What is your view on the importance of journalism and its role in educating the public and holding public officials to a standard of honesty and transparency? Ovid replied by saying, well, I've never been aware of any type of feud, and so the thing is that I've sold a lot of papers for the OA, even though it's a former daily paper. He then mentioned the recent signing of a contract with the Texas Government Accountability Association, which will create policies designed to hold the city more accountable and make it more transparent. Hovind said he wouldn't call the relationship the city has with the OA a feud. What I would say is the city itself has gotten itself into a jam by having all these problems, Hendricks said, describing multiple water boil notices and water leaks. That's news they're going to report on. It's called the First Amendment. They were right to report on what's going on in the community, Hendricks said. The firings of Marrero and Brooks was newsworthy, as is the 3-year contracts recently provided to city manager John Beckmeyer and other city appointees, and the city's trash issues, Hendricks said. I really can't blame the newspaper for reporting the news. I don't think there's a feud. I think there's a lot of news that needs to be reported. It's been reported, and so the newspaper is doing its job. The city needs to do its job, Hendricks said. The candidates were also asked how important social issues such as abortions and transgender bathrooms are when compared to the city's problems. I think social issues are not part of the city's business. City provides water, roads, police, parks, fire rescue. It's not the city's business, Hendricks said. What I'm going to focus on when I'm elected mayor is focusing on those things, the things that citizens pay for. If someone's interested in social issues, they need to run for Congress or the State House of Representatives, he said. Hendricks said that when the city's wastewater plant fails, Odessa will shut down, so it needs to be addressed immediately. Hovind responded by incorrectly saying that wastewater plant is about 90% completed when, in fact, the city's water plant is nearing completion. Work on the Bob Darrington wastewater treatment plant has not yet begun, and questions about how to pay for its rehabilitation haven't been answered. Social issues are really critical, Hovind said before going on and predicting dire results for the country should Vice President Kamala Harris get elected next month. If Kamala is able to sit there and win this election in November, Title IX has already been decimated. There is an abortion clinic in every zip code within Odessa, United States, and it's Plan B. Through your pharmacies, it exists, it's happening. This is the fight that's going on. We can't put our heads in the sand. This is critical for us to be able to address. Asked about their ability to get along with others on the council, Hovind said 95% of the time the council agrees on city business. And Hendricks said he learned that people can disagree without being disagreeable. He also pointed out he's a mediator for more than 20 years, so he knows how to get people to work together to reach a mutual resolution. When asked his thoughts on social media, ethics, and respect, Hendrick bemoaned the ugliness of social media, but pointed out the First Amendment exists. Hovind said he believes social media is leading on bullies and leading to bullies and suicides. When asked if Hovind condones the Political Action Committee Save Odessa, which has attacked one candidate's personal life, Hovind said he didn't know it. Political action committees, they are an entity on its own, Hovind said. So the thing is, as a candidate, I'm running my campaign. I have no control of what's going on outside my office in my small group. When Hovind was asked why so many employees have left the city and how the city would improve employee retention, Hovind corrected Hendricks' early assertion that the terminations of Marrero and Brooks cost the city $1 million, but he didn't answer the question. Hendricks said, people don't leave good jobs, they leave bad managers. He contended that roads weren't being repaired and the city lost its bond ratings because so many department heads have left the city, taking their institutional knowledge with them. Hendricks was referring to the fact Standard & Poor and Moody's withdrew the city bond rating in June because the 2022 and 2023 audits weren't finished on time, an issue confirmed by city manager John Beckmeyer in multiple media interviews. Hovind insisted Hendricks didn't have his facts right. It was never lost. When you basically are saying you're lost, it was taken away and that didn't happen, Hovind said. Hendricks was then asked if he would hire city manager John Beckmeyer to replace Marrero, and Hovind was asked why he hired Beckmeyer when he didn't meet any of the qualifications set out by the council. Hendricks said he would not have hired Beckmeyer because he clearly didn't have the education nor experience needed for the job. Hovind complained the moderators only mentioned a couple of the qualifications listed for the position to fit your narrative. If I were to do it again, I would hire John Beckmeyer 10 times over because he's not more than just qualified. He's been exceptional for the city of Odessa, Hovind said. Asked by Hamilton about the decision to give Beckmeyer and city appointees a 3-year contract that pays out even if they leave early, Hovind said the entire city council discussed them and didn't bring up any issues with them. He then disputed the terms of the contract as laid out by Hamilton. When you look at the size of the city of Odessa and the price that we got for these appointees, it's been very reasonable. The thing is that you have to read the entire contract. Those stipulations that you're saying are not there, Hovind said. When asked if that means they won't get paid out, Hovind said he didn't have the contracts with him. The thing is that if they wind up quitting, the thing is that when you're doing these contracts and when you let someone and you don't have a cause, you can negotiate those, Hovind said. Can you give me a yes or no? Will they be paid out of their contracts if they walk away? Hamilton asked. Really, once again, I answered the question. Read the contract, Hovind said. Hendricks, who said he's seen a lot of employment contracts over the last 35 years, said he's never seen a guaranteed contract like the ones given to the city manager and other appointees. The candidates were given 2 minutes for closing statements. Hendricks took a moment and clarified his earlier statements about Marrero and Brooks' payouts. When you add an attorney's fee, the city did pay out close to $1 million, he said. Hendricks also told voter viewers that lawyers have an old saying about pounding on the law and pounding on the facts when they're in your favor, but if you've got nothing, you just pound loudly. I heard a lot of that tonight. I've not heard really any answers to the problems, Hendricks said. His answer will be to follow the city's master plans to look at the issues and work up solutions. As a lifelong Republican and a West Texas redneck, I'm a get-her-done kind of guy, and I get it done. So I ask for your vote for mayor of the city of Odessa, Hendricks said. Hovind went over his list of accomplishments again and spoke about his faith. We cleaned up the swamp, and I'm asking for 4 more years, Hovind said. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center unveils Craddock's honorary name for PA Studies program. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center unveiled a new name for a decade-old program today, October 15th. The Nadine and Tom Craddock Physician Assistant Studies Program honors Representative Tom Craddock and his wife Nadine, who have been instrumental in starting and maintaining the program. During the 86th legislative session in 2019, Craddock helped secure $20 million in state funding that enabled the TTUHSC School of Health Professions Physician Assistant Studies Program to undertake a $30 million expansion completed in 2022. TTUHSC President Lori Rice Spearman, Ph.D., said, "The state-of-the-art spaces ensure the university is equipped to train the next generation of physician assistants in West Texas. We are proud to honor the Craddocks with this honorary naming," Rice Spearman said in a news release. "Their advocacy and support have been instrumental in the growth of our Physician Assistant Studies program and advancing healthcare for this region. Their legacy will continue to make an impact for years to come." Physician assistants are essential in bridging healthcare gaps in remote and underserved areas. The program, housed on the Midland College campus, has produced more than 1,000 alumni to date. "Nadine and I have a long-standing passion for both healthcare and education. This program is the perfect combination of both of these passions. We are honored to have the Physician Assistant Studies program named after us. Even more so, we are proud of the work this program is doing. These graduates are making a difference in the lives of those living and working in the Permian Basin," Craddock said. Christina Robom Levitt, DMSC, TTUHSC, School of Health Professions, Midland Regional Dean, and Physician Assistant Studies Program Director, said, "TTUHSC is genuinely grateful to the Craddocks for their dedication to Midland and the Permian Basin and TTUHSC. With expanded enrollment, outstanding facilities, and continued success in graduating amazing physician assistants, we are well positioned to continue fulfilling our mission of improving healthcare education and access in our community," Robom Levitt said. "Thank you again to Nadine and Tom Craddock for their unwavering support and advocacy." Midland man facing aggravated assault charge. A Midland man was arrested Monday on two outstanding warrants that were issued after he was accused of pointing a gun at his former girlfriend's mother and discharging it three times into the air. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a drive-by shooting call around 2 p.m. October 5th from the 2400 block of Sun Street. When officers arrived, they found a 17-year-old girl with a bloody nose who told them her former boyfriend, Victor Eddie Rodriguez, 19, came by her mother's house on Aldridge Street with his new girlfriend, 19, and a couple of other people. She told officers she and the new girlfriend got into a fight after her mother separated them. The 19-year-old woman took off without Rodriguez, but then stopped further up the street to pick him up, the report stated. The teenager's mother said, at that point, Rodriguez got a gun out of the car, pointed it at her, and then fired it three times into the air, the report stated. According to the report, officers found shell casings in the road along with witnesses who corroborated the mother's statement. Rodriguez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, and the misdemeanor charge of discharging a firearm in certain municipalities. He was booked into the Ector County Jail, and his bond was set at $255,000. Steamfest coming up. University of Texas Permian Basin will host its third Steamfest from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. October 19th. The event is free. The theme is volcanoes, fossils, and imaging. The event is aimed at families focusing primarily on elementary and middle school children, but anyone can attend. Milka Montez, Associate Professor and Department Chair of Chemistry, said the program will be all around campus starting at the Science and Technology Building. They will have activities in the quad and at the makerspace at the library. Students from the Chemistry Lab, Chemical Engineering Program, art students, and Geology Club members will build a giant volcano as one of the outdoor activities, Montez said. They have a lot of community partners this year. Ector County ISD culinary instructor Christina Scotts will be on hand with her students to make lava cakes. The WEX Foundation from San Antonio is returning. Its website says the WEX Foundation was founded to advance middle and high school education in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, subjects by integrating space exploration technology with project-based learning to create a robust space technology workforce that will enable people to live on other planets. Those attending will experience biology, geology, hands-on chemistry experiments, and they celebrate imaging in chemistry. We will have activities for the kids to explore how we can do digital imaging, photograph, x-rays, all kinds of really cool stuff, Montez said. There will also be engineering and robotics. UTPB biology lecturer Irene Perry said they expect 300 to 400 people. Montez said there is pre-registration and there were already about 100 as of early Wednesday afternoon. There is a Steamfest webpage at https://www.utpb.edu/events/2024/10/steamfest-2024.html. Montez said they want students to be engaged and see that science can include fun, everyday activities. We're going to have activities that everybody can do. Adults, obviously. A parent can also be very active. The makerspace is also going to be open so high school students can come and print whatever they want to make. We're going to have pots and prints, Montez said. They can make raku ornaments. If anybody is looking for a science for a project, for example, this is a perfect opportunity. If they haven't picked one, they can see all kinds of sciencey and engineering stuff, Montez said. The event was created by the Steamfest Coalition. We created this group of people because we saw the need to have a platform for kids to explore and also because we hold a regional science and engineering fair here at UTPB. So this is kind of like a prelude to the big event. This year it is going to be in February, Montez said. Perry said the event also makes science approachable. Some of our preserved plant specimens are going to be out and we're going to be using that to make different activities. Then we're going to have our microscope set up with students there to help to look at different kinds of things through the microscope part of the imaging and then being able to look at reactions under the microscope and also outside the microscope, looking things that you could see with the image that look different and changes with that, Perry said. They will also have a tour of the Edwin K. Kurtz Herbarium, the imaging station, and processing it into a public database. The herbarium is for pressed plants. Kurtz was a founding biology professor at UTPB who got the herbarium set up, Perry said. Almost everything has been digitized, and we're about halfway through the processing of the images for uploading to the public database, she added. It will be on the Texas-Oklahoma Regional Consortium Herbarium. The acronym is TORCH, and the website can be found at https://www.torchherbaria.org/. Obituaries. Charles Gibson Obituary. In loving memory of Charles Duane Gibson. Duane Gibson departed peacefully on October 3rd at the age of 93 in Austin. He was born November 7th in Martin County to parents Lula Vance Gibson Allen and Charles James Gibson. Family, friends, and others are invited to join in a celebration of life on November 16th at the Hyde Park Presbyterian Church, 3913 Avenue B, Austin, at noon with a reception and lunch to follow. Franklin Delano Marshall Jr. No service have been scheduled for Franklin Delano Marshall Jr., 66, of Odessa, who died Sunday, October 13th in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Betty Lou Wooten McCary. Betty Lou Wooten went to be with Jesus on Sunday, October 13th. A graveside service will be held on Friday, October 18th at 1 o'clock, Sunset Memorial Burial Grounds. Betty was born on October 21st, 1938, to Frank and Eula McCary. Raymond Bernal. Raymond Bernal, 68, of Odessa, died Friday, October 11th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. October 17th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery. Nick Andro Benavides. Nick Andro Benavides, 72, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 12th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. October 18th at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Odessa. Father Bernard is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Dennis Dale Fusier. Dennis Dale Fusier, 82, of Odessa, passed away peacefully surrounded by family on October 10th. Visitation and celebration of life will be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday, October 19th at Sunset Memorial. A private memorial will be held at a later date. Barbara Jean Cochran. A true warrior of faith, a woman of virtue, has gone into rest, awaiting to rise in full glory armor at the last trumpet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Barbara Jean Cochran, 74, of Odessa, passed away on Friday, October 11th in Odessa. Viewing will be held Thursday, October 17th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, 6801 East I-20 Business Loop, Odessa. Funeral service will be held Friday, October 18th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. UTPB hosting homecoming festivities. University of Texas Permian Basin is hosting homecoming this weekend with a parade, concert, bonfire, and football game. Senior Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Becky Spurlock, said, "There have been a number of events on campus this week. Friday evening will include a concert with John Wolfe, a parade, and bonfire. People can line up for the parade in front of the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center, and the parade ends at the turf field next to the other facility. The event Friday night runs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday will feature tailgating before the homecoming game against Western Oregon. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. at Astound Broadband Stadium. The homecoming queen and king will be crowned and the homecoming court revealed. The public is invited to join in all of the events. There will be dozens of food trucks and vendors on hand. If you arrive about 3 p.m., you can see the Falcon Walk when football players arrive. And we'll also have performances from the band, cheer and dance teams at 4 p.m. Falcon Day is also on the schedule for October 19th. Falcon Day offers prospective students the opportunity to tour the campus, meet with faculty and staff, and learn about student life at UTPB. For more information, visit https://www.utpb.edu/admissions-aid/visit-utpb/visit-on-falcon-day/.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.